The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Got a great show planned for you today. The first hour, we're going to have Brooks Kubik on. Again, keeping the torch of physical culture lit brightly. We'll be talking about the great Rolino. No, it is not an exercise. Thank you, Nick Williamelli, for pointing that out. And second half of the show, we'll have world-class strongman and strength and conditioning coach Mark Philippi on, talking about training MMA fighters versus other athletes, the differences between the types of training that they do. Before we get started, I got to give a shout-out to one of our listeners, Ricky Pack. He called it exactly right. I got an email last night saying at exactly the 14-minute and 50-second point in yesterday's show, while we were talking about Miracle Noodle, it sounded like I hit a button that zoomed in only on me while I cleared my throat. And he's right. Usually when I have to clear my throat, I hit this little button that just mutes me. Right below it is a button called solo, which if I press the solo button, it just keeps me talking and blanks out the guest. So instead of hitting the mute button to clear my throat, I hit the solo button and it went out on the air. I'm going to actually try to edit it out of the podcast. It's got to be annoying for someone who have taken note of it. So thank you, Ricky Pack, for being my editor for the show out in the audience. Okay, so let's get started with this show. By the way, one other thing. If you have used any of the AgeForce transdermal patches, I want to hear from you. Please email me at onair@superhumanradio.com and let me know what your experience is, good, bad, indifferent. I want to hear from you. Please, if you've used any of the AgeForce products, the growth hormone patch, the test boosting patch, or the new nitric oxide boosting patch, and you have any information at all, you like it, you don't like it, you notice something, you didn't notice anything, please email me at onair@superhumanradio.com. Our next guest is no stranger to the show. In fact, I'm trying to convince him to let me produce a show just for him. If you think that's a good idea, email me onair@superhumanradio.com. He's Brooks Kubik. How you doing, Brooks?
Hey, Carl, I'm great. How are you?
Great. Okay. So, interestingly enough, we posted on the board today and on the official Superhuman Radio forum at anabolicminds.com that we were doing the first hour of the show about the great Rolino. And after you told a brief little story about who the great Rolino is, he's a person, Nick Williamelli posted he was wondering what a Rolino was. So obviously some people thought we were going to be talking about a new exercise movement called a Rolino.
So it's some kind of superhuman somersault.
There you go. Either that or you roll down a hill and it builds muscle. There you go.
There you go, yeah.
So who was the great Joe Rolino?
Well, the great Joe Rolino was an amazing strongman from, guess where, Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah, I love it. And Italian, no less. So there you go.
Yeah, he was, you know, various reports have him born on Coney Island or simply in South Brooklyn.
Okay.
But I'm going to go with the Coney Island version because I think that's, you know, you can't beat being born on Coney Island.
Yeah, it makes more sense because they had strongmen right there at Coney Island along with other vaudeville-type shows.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was one of them. He was right there, and we'll get into that. But Joe Rolino, bottom line, for any one of your listeners who are interested in being strong, being healthy, being physical fit, living a long, and I mean a very long and very active and very full life, you're going to want to pay attention because Joe Rolino is the poster child for exactly that.
I mean, really, when you think about it, he outlived Jack LaLanne.
He lived to be 104, going on 100 and five.
Now, the most amazing thing was he didn't die of natural. It's not like as though he got to 104 and he withered away and he died. He died by a freak accident, right?
Yeah, he was living in Brooklyn. He was in Diker Heights. And every morning, he had a schedule. He was an early riser. He'd always get up at 5 or 6 in the morning.
And Diker Heights, by the way, is known for one of the most beautiful golf courses in Brooklyn.
Okay. I didn't know that.
There you go.
Didn't know that. But he went out to get a cup of coffee, a morning newspaper, and get this, at age 104, lottery tickets.
He was an optimist, too.
He was an optimist, yeah. And unfortunately, he was crossing the street, and this was early in the morning, on the morning of January 11, 2010, crossing the street, and he was hit by a minivan.
Man.
And died shortly thereafter.
It wasn't a hit and run, street. Right? They stopped, I hope.
No, they stopped. Apparently, it was an accident. I'm assuming it was dark, maybe wet, foggy, cloudy, hard to see. It was just one of those really sad, really unfortunate things.
So this guy was going to keep on living, obviously. If he's running across the street with lottery tickets and a newspaper, he wasn't feeble and frail.
Someone once wrote about Joe Rolino. He looks at least 20 years younger, acts at least 40 years younger, and thinks 60 years younger than his age.
Wow.
And a lot of people who knew him, and that's pretty much the whole strength community in the Northeast, and definitely in Brooklyn and in New York, New Jersey, those people say he probably would have lived to be 120. He was so strong and so healthy and so fit.
What year did he die?
2010.
Oh, my God. We could have had him on the show.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I mean, he was no recluse. He was out there. He was often at the annual banquet of the Association of Old-Time Barbell Strongmen, and people knew him and talked to him. And I've been spending last night and this morning emailing with people who knew him, people who met him.
Cool.
I talked on the phone this morning with a man who knew him back in the 50s. And they all say he was just amazing. Now, one really interesting thing, you know, we know as people grow older, they tend to forget things. They don't think with the same clarity and the same sharpness that they did when they were younger. I mean, that's one of the signs of advancing age. That's one of the things you want to fight if you want a really wonderful, full life.
Right.
And Joe Rolino had an amazing memory. I mean, I'm looking right now at an email from a man named Eric Murray. Eric said he was talking about going to the association banquets, the Association of Old-Time Barbell Strongmen. And anyone who wants to, Google their website, touch base with Artie Dreschler, sign up, and you can meet all the greats from the past at their annual banquets. Mr. Rolino and I always shook hands. And for a small man, his hands were large and impressive.
I'm looking at a picture of him in 2000, taken in 2008, and you're right, and his hands are big.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that later because he had a pair of the strongest hands in the world. As I recall, he ate sparingly, and he told us on more than one occasion that he ate only natural foods, which he bought every day from a local grocer's. He also shopped for his sisters, who looked after him at the time. And he said, I took one of the strong men to the banquet, and he gave him advice on how to perform various feats of strength. Okay?
Right.
He also says, let me pop up to this email. Hang on just a second. This is really fascinating. That he had, Eric said, here we go. Probably the most impressive thing about Mr. Rolino for me was his memory. Remember, this is at over 100 years of age.
Right.
Having missed a couple of Association of Old-Time Barbell Strongman reunions due to a conflict, my girlfriend and I had not seen Mr. Rolino for 2 years. We were sitting in the lobby in the Marriott in New Jersey, attending the banquet. when Mr. Rolino walked through the front door. From across the lobby, he saw us and called out and greeted both of us by name.
Wow.
Not only did he recognize us right away, but he remembered my name and my girlfriend's name. Mr. Rolino had a fantastic recall, and he made you feel special by remembering you and going out of his way to make you feel important. And I received emails like that, Carl, from half a dozen different people, and I've read in internet posts, discussion forums, newspaper articles, articles about Rolino, other people recall that same thing.
Yeah, huh?
And they say his mind was as sharp as a tack. They say he could go back and start talking about the old-time strongmen, the physical culturists, the bodybuilders, the boxers, because he was actually a professional boxer at one
yes,
point.
Yes, he boxed under the name Kid Dundee.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, he had many fights. He was relatively small. He was 5'5 and probably weighed around 145, 150 pounds max, probably boxed about 120, 130 for most of his fights. And he would go up against anyone up to light heavyweights. He actually sparred with Jack Dempsey, the heavyweight champion.
Wow.
No one could knock him out. People would hit him. They'd hit him in the stomach. They'd hit him in the jaw. He just shrugged the blows off. It was absolutely amazing. And that makes his memory at an advanced age all the more incredible because, you know, most people who boxed 100 fights as what they call it, an armory boxer, which means you'd fight in armories.
Yeah, the local armories, right, exactly.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that was pretty rugged, pretty rough stuff. And, you know, if you did that when you were younger, up against guys who outweighed you 40, 50, 60 pounds.
Yeah, you get your bell rung a few too many times.
But he didn't. I mean, just incredible. You know, you've done shows on superhumans. Well, he was legitimately a superhuman.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely. And I say that, you know, I'm not talking about a comic book sort of superhuman. I'm talking about this man was the real thing.
Yeah, he embodied the message here at the show.
Well, he did, and he embodied physical culture, and he had very distinct thoughts about exercise, diet, physical culture. I mean, it was no accident that he lived to be as old as he was.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to delve into his life and also talk about some of his top lifts. He did some amazing feats of strength.
Absolutely.
Amazing stuff. We're going to talk more about Joe Rolino. We're talking right now with Brooks Kubik. You can learn more about Brooks by going to his website, BrooksKubik, KUBIK.com, and check out the Dinosaur Training Forum. We'll be right back. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. Age Force introduces the first ever nitric oxide booster plus advanced post-workout recovery formula in a two-stage transdermal patch. Stage one releases its nitric oxide boosting formula directly into the bloodstream the minute you apply it and continues to deliver a powerful nitric oxide boost during your workout. Stage two is delayed time release, so the post-recovery formula starts after your workout. Go to ageforce.com and check out the new pre and post-workout patch and get 50% off any order with the promo code SHROX. Save 50% when you use coupon code SHROX.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour, Brooks Kubik. Read his blog at BrooksKubik, K-U-B-I-K.com today. Check out the books. It's a great site. Okay, Brooks. Joe Rolino. Okay. He did some amazing things. It was once said that he moved more than a ton. What do they mean by that?
Well, at a body weight of variously 130 to 150 pounds, he did a backlift of 3,200 pounds.
What's a backlift?
A backlift, this is one, let me just note, do not try this at home. You need special equipment for this. Safety is a real concern, and you'll see why. Backlift, you get underneath a specially constructed, incredibly strong platform in a position where you bend at the waist, the weight, the platform is solid against your back as you're bent over. Not a squat, not with the weight on your shoulders, but against the entire back as you bend over.
Okay.
Your legs are very, very, very slightly bent. Your arms are positioned so that you're able to push down on a very strong support. And then with a combination of an arm push where you just straighten the arms just a half an inch to an inch, straighten the legs half an inch to an inch, you lift the platform. It's a very short-range, limited-motion lift. And it was favored by the old-time strongmen for a couple of reasons. One was it was very dramatic.
Yeah, right.
You know, the other one was they could say I lifted 2,000, 3,000 pounds, whatever. And the third is it was something the strongmen could do with human beings as weight.
Ah, they could get the human beings to jump into a trough, if you will, and stand in there.
Yeah, well, they had this platform, and there were people who would do this with, you know, a whole platform full of men. It made the audience think that it was legitimate. If the strongmen used weights,
they would think that they were wooden weights painted black, and they were
right. Exactly. Yeah, they always thought they were fake. So it was a big deal. Now, a 3,200-pound backlift at a body weight of 140 or 150, you know, pound for pound, that's one of the best of all time. And some of his other lifts, he did a harness lift of 1,800 pounds, just under a ton. A harness lift was having a very, very heavy belt around your waist, low on your hips.
Right.
Not around the stomach like a powerlifting belt, but low on the hips. Chain attached to the belt. Chain goes down between the legs and attaches to some sort of extremely heavy weight. And again, they would often do this on a special platform. The movement, again, was very short range. You stand with the legs bent very slightly, put the hands on the legs, you push with the arms, push with the legs, straighten up just enough to lift the weight. And he would do, again, at a body weight of 150, 1,800 pounds, which is phenomenal. But his real strength was in his hands.
And his teeth, but go ahead.
And his teeth. He could do a one-finger lift with 635 pounds.
Right. Okay, and that's the one I want to know about. What is a one-finger lift? Is it a platform with, chains coming up, and he puts his finger through the ring?
No. I'm assuming that the way he did it is the way that most all-time strong men would do this lift, including his mentor, Warren Linkus Travis, from Coney Island.
Right.
Coney Island strongman. You're usually doing it standing on something so that you can, you're usually standing on a strong platform, but not necessarily. You have a special ring, a very, very thick steel ring that's padded inside, and it has to be thick enough to fit the bottom part of the joint of the middle finger right where it joins the palm.
Right.
Okay? You slip it all the way on down. It has to be incredibly tight. It has to be incredibly snug. And that has a hook attached to it so that when you fold your hand into a fist, the hook protrudes down. You put the hand against the inner thigh so that it's braced against the thigh. And then with the other hand bracing against the opposite knee, you straighten the legs, lifting the weight with your body strength, but it's all
your finger is the weak link, in other words.
Yeah. And, you have a chain that goes down and it attaches to, whatever weights you use, platform or barbell or whatever.
Right.
Now, a one-finger lift, this is another one listeners need to be careful. Don't just go out and try this. You'll break the tendons in your hand.
You got to work up to it?
You have to work up to it really, really slow. And again, this padded ring idea is really important. I will share that a lot of old-time strong men dislocated their fingers, severed a tendon. Fingers would be black and blue for days after doing a really heavy attempt in this lift.
Right.
And, I've done some finger lifting. I'm going to tell you, you want to be careful with it. But it is something that if you train it intelligently, you can really build up incredible strength over time. He did it with the right hand. His right hand was, his right middle finger was significantly thicker than his left middle finger. But both hands were incredibly strong, and you can witness that, by the following. Anyone, I think, can relate to this. Did you ever try doing a chin-up? Pinch gripping two rafters?
No, but I've heard about it through you. I mean, there's people who have done that.
Yeah, well, he did 15 times.
Wow. But he had an amazing grip.
Amazing, amazing grip. He also could do a one-finger chin.
Wow.
Now think about that. One-hand chin or one-hand pull-up, that's an amazing feat. A one-finger pull-up, that's just superhuman.
What did he do? Before we get too close to the break here, we have about 4 minutes before the break. He also had a penchant. They said that even at the age of, let me see what this is. At the age of 104, he was still bending quarters in his teeth.
And I know people who saw him do it. He would take a quarter, put it between his teeth. Again,
He did it at his 103rd birthday.
Yeah.
He would bend quarters for people who were celebrating his birthday with him.
He would bend them between his teeth, and then he'd finish the bend with his fingers. And he would apologize. He'd say, I used to do this with dimes. I'm sorry I can't do that anymore. Dimes, of course, being harder because there's not as much space. Yeah, they're so small, hard to grip.
Right.
An incredible man. You talked about his neck strength. He did teeth lifting. And, teeth lifting, you have a special device that you hold in the mouth attached to a chain. You lift the weight that way.
He did a 200-kilogram teeth lift, whatever you want to call it, which is basically 450 pounds.
Yeah. That's like doing a deadlift.
With your jaw.
With your jaw. No wonder no one ever knocked him out when he boxed.
Good point. Yeah, really. Amazing, amazing guy. And he had a very colorful background as well. I guess he was also at one point in time, he was a longshoreman throughout mm-hmm. most of his life.
Yes.
And longshoremen are known for being rough guys.
Yeah.
You know, working in that job, grappling heavy cargo and stuff like that, they usually were very strong as well. But he, as a result of being a longshoreman, he was once booked. I guess someone had noticed his strength, and he was once booked as a bodyguard for Greta Garbo.
Which is pretty good work if you can get it.
I mean, do you know if he was a bodyguard often, or was that just that particular occurrence?
I think it was just that particular occurrence. He had at least one other Hollywood connection. He was in the movie On the Waterfront with Marlon Brando.
Right. Well, he actually had two more notable connections to Hollywood. He was friends with Mario Lanza.
Yes.
And the great Houdini.
Houdini. Now, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, he was a friend with the great Houdini. You know, maybe Houdini liked his act and you know, realized that this guy was the real thing and friended him or something like that.
Well, he knew everybody from Eugene Sandow all the way on up. I mean, the laundry list of people that he knew, you know, Jack Dempsey, Bernard McFadden, Charles Atlas. He lived across the street from Charles Atlas.
Really?
They trained together.
And that makes sense. They were both Italian. They were both from Brooklyn.
Yeah,
that makes
there you
perfect
go.
Sense. Perfect sense entirely. And of course, we can't forget the fact that he was a World War II veteran as well. He didn't sidestep his duty to this country. He fought in the Pacific during World War II.
Well, not only that, but he joined the Army in 1939. He fought in World War II in his mid to late 30s. I mean, you know, war is a young man's occupation. He did it at an age, particularly back then, when most men were worried about heart attacks and just kind of giving up on life. And he was a legitimate hero.
Yeah.
He saved four other soldiers who were caught wounded under enemy fire.
Right.
He ran out. He picked all four men up at the same time, two with one hand, two with the other.
Under his arms. The way they described it was he actually put two men under each arm.
And carried them back to safety.
Could you imagine? That won him a Silver Star, a Bronze Star, and a Purple Heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Just amazing. And to think that a man 5'5", weighing 140 to 150 pounds, was capable of doing that just boggles the mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we got to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking more about the fantastic life of Joe Rolino. Also, Brooks, today is a special day for two reasons. Number one, today is the anniversary of John Davis's death, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
And also, we want to wish the U.S. female soccer team success over the French today. I'm sorry, my French listeners, but we want to win this one. So good luck to those girls out there. Hopefully they'll win. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
The isolator will change the way you work out forever. We've all imagined how it would be if there was an apparatus that would eliminate the hands, forearms, biceps, and triceps from training chest, back, and shoulder muscles. Well, now you can with the isolator. The isolator does exactly what it says. It allows you to isolate muscles to get a better, more intense workout. And they're so versatile, they work with machines or free weights. You have to see the isolator to believe it. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Isolator Fitness banner ad today. The isolator, the only way to train.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of.
buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today. Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage pain, and you should too.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Brooks Kubik this hour. Later in the show, we'll have world-class strongman and strength and conditioning coach Mark Filippi on. We're going to talk about the differences in training athletes in general versus athletes who do battle, who take punches, who throw punches, whose bodies are brutalized in the process of the sport. So you're going to want to listen to that. So, Brooks, aside from some of these great things that Joe Rolino did, was he ever married, do you know?
Yes. He was married. He had a son. And that was a part of his life that he always said later he didn't want to talk about.
Really?
I think something happened. He and his wife became estranged when he was overseas during the war.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he always said he was not going to talk about that. Now, the other interesting thing, his family is very interesting. His father's name was Bruno. Born in 1860, died in 1940, so do the math, 80 years.
Right.
Immigrated to the U.S. from Austria, a very, very strong, powerful man. Stood 6'2", weighed about 300 pounds. And back then, that was huge. And if it was, you know,
back then it wasn't fat.
Yeah, farm worker from right. Austria, you know, this is a strong guy. His mother, Clara, stood 5'2", weighed 120, but listen to this, had arms like iron, carried logs, wielded an axe, held up her end on a two-man saw.
Wow.
And, you know, if Bruno, the father, is the guy on the other end of the saw, 5'2", 120-pound mama is one strong woman.
Yeah, if she's able to do that job along with him, absolutely.
Yeah. Joe was born on March 19, 1905. He was right in the middle of 14 children. He had 9 brothers. They all stood 6 foot or more, just like his father. But Joe was
took after
his mother's height.
Yeah,
5'5". You know, it was a bit of a tough childhood growing up. They often did not have enough to eat. His mother, though, back then, which was very interesting, very unusual, was a vegetarian.
Really?
Strict vegetarian, and she told him, Joe, do not eat meat, do not smoke, do not drink alcohol. And he never did any of those things. He was a lifelong vegetarian.
Yeah, I saw that also, that he was a lifelong vegetarian.
Yeah, and the people that I've talked to and the people that I've communicated with by email, people who actually had meals with him or actually knew him, said, you know, he was serious about that. He was absolutely, one person used the phrase, he was a devout vegetarian.
Right, right. You know what? It works for some people. There's no doubt about it.
Well, it obviously worked in his case, and, you know, it's such a contrast. You know, I'm not going to get into a vegetarian versus a carnivorous diet debate now. That's
right.
Not the time or place. But, right. You know, you see someone like this, not only how long he lived and how powerful he was, how strong he was, but, you know, how sharp he was at an advanced age.
Right.
You know, I mean, he walked 5 miles a day even when he was over 100 years old.
Yeah.
Walked 5 miles a day. I mean, you're sort of like, this man makes me, you know, want to stop and think, and at the very least, I'm going to make sure I'm taking lots of good, high-quality vegetables in my diet.
Right. Right.
The other thing that he did, he was a member of the Iceberg Club.
Oh, they jump in the cold water.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I love that. That keeps your brain young right there.
Well, yeah. And, you know, one of the quotes is, after you jump in the Atlantic Ocean in the middle of wintertime and swim around for a while, you come out feeling like you're 10 years old.
Right.
Joe Rolino was with the Iceberg Athletic Club. There's the Polar Bear Club.
Right.
And the Polar Bear Club, I believe, they take a dip on New Year's Day every year.
Right.
But the Iceberg Club, which is unfortunately no longer in existence, the Iceberg Club would swim 3 or 4 times a week all year round in the ocean off of Coney Island.
I'm going to tell you that keeps you young, and I'm going to tell you, I just talked about this, I think it was on yesterday's show, I may have mentioned it, but
oh wow,
I'm convinced. I do this protocol now right after I work out where I sit in a 150-degree sauna for 30 minutes.
Right.
I shave in there, by the way, too. It's a great place to shave.
Mm-hmm.
And then I immediately jump into an ice-cold shower, and it evokes one of the most profound, what's known as the mammalian breath hold response. And I had a doctor on my show who's written 70 books, which I don't know why his name escapes me. But he's written books about cognition, and we've talked off the air and we talked on the air. And he told me that anytime you evoke the mammalian breath hold response, it dilates every blood vessel in your brain. He says the best way to keep your brain young. Well, one of the ways to invoke the mammalian breath hold response is to actually put your face in water, because your body naturally wants to suck in as much oxygen and hold it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens when you go in ice cold water. That's why you gasp. You're like, you can't even breathe, because your body it just can't even pull the air in fast enough.
Oh, wow.
So people who swim in ice cold water are actually doing great anti-aging things for their brain. Or if you don't want to swim in ice cold water, sit in a 150-degree sauna and then immediately jump in an ice cold shower and make sure you douse your head and your face. Your eyes will become bloodshot. The blood forces its way into places that it never goes. Your eyes become bloodshot immediately because the blood just forces its way in everywhere that it can.
Wow.
So anyway, okay, so there you go.
Well, anyhow, going back to the Iceberg Athletic Club, Joe Rolino was the most active, the most dedicated members of the club.
Right.
There was one period where he swam in the Atlantic Ocean every single day for 8 straight years.
Wow.
Any kind of weather. And I'm talking about snow, rain, heat, wintertime, whatever. he was out there swimming in the ocean off of Coney Island. And, you know, Carl, talk about doing something that makes you healthy, keeps you young. That's probably kind of hard to top.
Well, that's, and again, swimming does it. Wynn Wenger, that's who was on the show, Dr. Wynn Wenger.
Okay.
And that, he's a profound believer in swimming to keep your brain young, because it evokes, when you go underwater and hold your breath while you're swimming, it dilates all the blood vessels in your brain to scavenge oxygen. And it's part of the effect of having water hit your face. It's called the mammalian breath hold response. He said that's the most profound way to reverse the aging of the brain. So swimming will do it for you.
Well, that's interesting. And another interesting aspect of that is that if you're dealing with infants who have some kind of neurological deficit or cognitive function disorder, one of the movement patterns that you try to get down is that hands toward feet or knees, hands toward opposite hand towards other knee, which is basically a swimming motion.
Right.
Okay. And it's the crawling thing. You have to be able to get them to the point where they can crawl with that crawling motion. And so you have to find ways to do that. And, of course, that's very similar to swimming.
Right.
So, you know, there are people who work with infants who have neurological deficit who find that if you can mimic that swimming motion, you start to trigger really good things in the brain and the nervous system.
Wow.
And there are other people who are saying, well, okay, if that's true at one end of life, what can we do at the other end of life? Are there other things that we can do to keep the body and the brain and the nervous system functioning as one ages? And they're saying that that swimming motion is an important motion.
Right.
You know, so if you can swim, it's probably a really good thing to do on a regular basis.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. We have to take our last commercial break, Brooks.
Go ahead.
When we come back, I want to ask you about did John Davis and Joe Rolino ever meet, since they were in Brooklyn and they were kind of in the same gang, if you will. We're talking with Brooks Kubik. You can learn more about Brooks by visiting his website, Brooks, K-U-B-I-K, Kubik.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now. Mike Mahler is one of the most sought-after teachers in the world of kettlebell training. Whether your goal is greater strength, speed, mental toughness, or fat loss, you'll come away with newfound knowledge. His seminars play to sold-out crowds. Now you can attend one of the most exciting, life-changing strength and conditioning seminars in the world. Seminars are scheduled for Denver, Tacoma, Washington, Washington, D.C., Las Vegas, Hawaii, and Miami. These will not be repeat engagements, so don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Go to MikeMahler.com today and book your seat. That's Mike, M-A-H-L-E-R.com. Space is very limited. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank.
bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-Oxoprogesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit anabolicminds.com today and get into the action. Anabolicminds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. A little later in the show, we'll have Mark Filippi on. But right now, we're still talking to Brooks Kubik. You can visit his website, Brooks Kubik, KUBIK.com. Brooks, did John Davis and Joe Rolino ever cross paths?
I don't know, but I'm going to assume that they did. They certainly knew many of the same people. And, you know, you're from Brooklyn, so, you know, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm assuming that it's a relatively small community in the sense of it's smaller than the entire world, right?
Well, yeah, it's smaller than the entire world, but it's kind of like when people say, hey, you know, I'm from Texas, and you go, well, I got a friend from Texas. Maybe you know him. And it's like, no, Texas is a really big place. You have to remember that while Brooklyn may be geographically small, the concentration of population there is amazing. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. I remember, you know, millions of people live in Brooklyn alone. I mean, you don't even have millions of people sometimes living in some large cities. And that's just one of the boroughs. But I have to agree with you. I have to believe that they knew each other, not because they were both from Brooklyn, but because they were both from Brooklyn and they were both in the strength game.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. They had to lift at some of the same gyms perhaps, or they knew people and they had to know of each other.
Yeah. And you know, Joe Rolino trained regularly pretty much his entire life. And, you know, the people that he knew were people that John Davis knew. I talked this morning on the phone with a man who was good friends with both of them.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, in fact, he was telling me the story. He's a young kid, and he's just starting to work out at the Cooper Athletic Club. And John Davis is training there, and this is when John Davis is, you know, either the top lifter in the world or perhaps just a couple of years later, but still one of the strongest men in the world, 2-time Olympic champion, 6-time world champion, and he comes over to this young kid who's just joined the gym and says, because he was doing bench presses, John comes over to him and he says, hey, if you ever need a spot or a lift off, just holler, I'll give you a hand.
Wow, that's, you don't even get that in gyms from average people.
No, and you know, to have the champ do that, you know, it just shows you what kind of a man he was.
Yeah.
And really, you know, that was the kind of man that Joe Rolino was. You know, there was very, very much of a tradition of mentoring young men as they started the path, the road to physical culture. And really, you know, teaching them, handing down the traditions. It was really a, you know, a hand down from generation to generation type thing. And it was almost accepted as a responsibility. It was something that these men took seriously. And, you know, a lot of people who are in their 60s, 70s, 80s, got their start with some of the, you know, the great old timers in the physical culture world, and they still remember that, and it's among the best memories of their life.
You know, I have to believe that Joe Rulino and Jack LaLanne's paths had a cross as well. While Jack LaLanne started out in California with his mission, he ended up in New York doing a TV show on the then Channel 13, I want to say it was, which was an obscure channel.
Mm-hmm.
I used to watch it when I came home from school. It was a black and white show where he would show housewives how to exercise using things, common things like kitchen chairs and so on.
Yeah.
And I have to believe that Joe Rulino knew of Jack LaLanne, too, once Jack migrated to New York and lived there.
I am assuming that pretty much everyone in the Iron Game fraternity at that period of time pretty much knew each other. I mean, they would have met each other at the Strength and Health picnic in York every year. You know,
right.
That was the gathering of the clans. Everyone was there. They would have met at the Senior National Weightlifting Championships, Mr. America Contest. Yeah, there were certain events that everybody went to. And, yeah, I'm just positive that they would have met.
Right.
And, you know, certainly they must have had many mutual friends. Now, Rulino and Jack LaLanne are very, very similar.
Right.
You know, relatively the same age, same size, just able to accomplish amazing things physically for a very, very long time. And, you know, and just, you know, really meticulous, very careful about their diet, their nutrition, getting their exercise every day. And you know, in both cases, look at the results.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Now, I know that he never talked about his wife and his son. Is his son involved in any way, shape, or form in any way of physical culture?
I have absolutely no idea.
Yeah, that's kind of sad.
You know, from everything that I know, something happened and his wife and son were just not a part of his life from, you know, probably from the war after. But, you know, what he did do, you know, this is just amazing, but this is the kind of person that, you know, that he was. You know, obviously he outlived his mother, his father, every single one of his brothers and sisters, although he made sure that all of them lived in comfort and lived well throughout their entire lives. And he actually worked two jobs into his 90s to make sure that his brothers and sisters were cared for.
Wow.
He then he lived with his niece, Tina, in Brooklyn, and you know, every day he would walk her to the bus stop. He'd go out and get food to cook at dinner and everything. I mean, he was just the most wonderful, devoted uncle, and just an absolutely wonderful man.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like he contributed a lot to a lot of lives.
Well, it really does. He was one of those people. Everyone that I've talked to or corresponded with just had the most wonderful, glowing things to say about him.
Yeah.
And he was one of those people who really, used the phrase earlier, carried the torch, you know, carries the torch of physical culture. Well, he's a man who carried the torch of physical culture.
Yeah, absolutely. Brooks, before we end this interview, was there anything that you heard about him that just stood out as unique, obviously caring for his siblings and his family members? That's unique in this day and age in any way, shape, or form. But was there anything that jumped out, any little story that was kind of like a side note, like, wow, you know, I would never believe that about Joe Rulino? Anything?
Well, if I were able to pick out one story, interesting little note from a guy who's been wearing glasses since he was 7 years old. At over 100 years of age, he took no medicine, prescription or otherwise, of any sort, and had no assistive aids. He walked on his own. He didn't have a cane. He didn't have a walker. He just walked. And he didn't wear glasses.
Wow.
And, you know, for anyone over the age of 40 who's dealing with the whole bifocal issue, this was amazing. Plus, he had all of his own teeth.
Yes, in fact, not only did he have all his own teeth, but they were still so strongly rooted at 103 at his birthday party, he was bending quarters for his guests.
Yeah, I mean, his bone structure was, you know, I used the phrase earlier, but I'll use it again. It was superhuman.
Right.
In that regard, there's a funny story on his 103rd birthday. Friends had a birthday party for him, and they had all the candles on the cake, and he blew out all the candles on his birthday cake, but he would not eat a single piece of birthday cake.
And you know what they say? It's bad luck not to eat your own birthday cake, but obviously that's a lie, because look how great he did.
Well, his comment was, this was his 104th birthday, his 104th birthday, you don't live to be 104 by eating things that aren't good for you.
God bless Joe Rolino. I love it.
You know, Carl, I wish that there had been a chance to have
him on the show.
And just hear it straight from the horse's mouth.
Yeah.
What stories he would have been able to share.
I really feel like a missed opportunity. I really, really do. I just last year we could have had him on the show. Who knows?
Yeah.
He might have been on the show the morning that he went out to get the newspaper, and he may not have gone out that morning. Who knows?
And in that case, he would still be going strong for another 20
years.
There you
go. Hey, Brooks, as always, thanks so much for being on the show today. Thank you also to, I'm sorry, I'm derelict. I should have done this a moment ago. But actually, today's show was recommended by John Annunziata of New Jersey. He wanted us to do the show on the great Joe Rolino, and obviously Brooks was the guy to do it. So I want to thank John Annunziata also for recommending that we do this show today on Joe Rolino.
Yeah, that was a great idea.
Brooks, as always, wonderful to have you. Visit Brooks's website, BROOKSKUBIK.com. Go there today and go there often. We'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Sounds good. Take care,
okay.
Carl.
All right, and when we come back, we will have world-class strongman Mark Phillippe on about training MMA fighters versus training other athletes, the differences. Remember, Mark is the guy who brought now I'm going to forget his name. Well, we'll let him talk. He's worked with lots of MMA fighters, and we'll have him on in just a moment. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com. Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance. And it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical. But it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to VeryIntensePleasure.com. Try it once and you'll buy it again and again. VeryIntensePleasure.com.
The Isolator will change the way you work out forever. We've all imagined how it would be if there was an apparatus that would eliminate the hands, forearms, biceps, and triceps from training chest, back, and shoulder muscles. Well, now you can with the Isolator. The Isolator does exactly what it says. It allows you to isolate muscles to get a better, more intense workout. And they're so versatile, they work with machines or free weights. You have to see the Isolator to believe it. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Isolator Fitness banner ad today. The Isolator, the only way to train.
Age Force introduces the first ever nitric oxide booster plus advanced post-workout recovery formula in a two-stage transdermal patch. Stage 1 releases its nitric oxide boosting formula directly into the bloodstream the minute you apply it, and continues to deliver a powerful nitric oxide boost during your workout. Stage 2 is delayed time release, so the post-recovery formula starts after your workout. Go to ageforce.com and check out the new pre- and post-workout patch, and get 50% off any order with the promo code SHROX. Save 50% when you use coupon code SHROX. 6-Oxo is back thanks to
Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-oxoprogesterone. 6-oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's OPResource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to OPResource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. OPResource.net.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
You and I, we may look the same, but we are very far apart.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio.
There's bullet holes where my compassion used to be.
My next guest is a world-class strongman, but more importantly, one of the best strength and conditioning coaches around. In fact, many of the top names in mixed martial arts turn to him. The name I couldn't think of when I was going into the break was Frank Mir. Mark Philippi helped marshal Frank Mir's conditioning back to his original, perhaps even beyond his original state of fighting when he made his comeback. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great. Great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. What was it like, by the way, working with the Frank? You worked with Frank after the motorcycle accident, right?
I did. You know, funny story. When I was at UNLV still, I got a call from his agent about training him. This goes back maybe 7 years or five, 7 years at least. And he needed somebody to train him after he had his accident. We never really hooked up. And then after he had lost to Brock, I kind of had a funny feeling I might hear back from him. And it was like a month later that I got a phone call.
Right.
We started doing some work together for a few fights. I want to
talk about, first of all, you train athletes in general, okay? You train
Correct.
Athletes in strength and conditioning. And obviously, unlike a lot of guys who go to school and work in a lab, you actually applied in your career many of the things that you probably espouse and teach your athletes, correct?
Yeah, not only, you know, the actual lift or lifts or experimenting with things you think might work, but also the mental component of lifting and training heavy and training hard. I think that's the one advantage you have. Just because you lift a lot doesn't make you a good strength coach, but I think there is some things you can take away and insight into lifting that helps. When you're training an athlete who is, you know, it's a means to an end. It's not, you know, he's not actually, he wants to get stronger, but he's not a lifter himself. So you can kind of get in his head a little bit. You know what he's thinking. You know the mental stress of lifting heavy to get stronger, or conditioning hard or whatnot. So, yeah, I think there's a benefit to it.
And that the mental aspect is really important too. Not enough attention is paid, in my humble opinion, to the mental aspect, because I experience this myself. I am nowhere near an athlete, but there was a period of my life where I was training as a power lifter. And I remember that the thing that plagued me the most wasn't recovery per se, muscular recovery, but it was mental recovery. I would become, when I started really, really getting into some heavy poundages, I would actually develop angst about training the next day, you know, especially the squat and the deadlift. Because I'm an older guy, I always imagined myself, you know, blowing out a heart valve in the squat or blowing a disc in the deadlift. And so the night before, I would start to imagine my workouts and worry about them. And on the way into the gym, I would be worried about them. And it was always, and the funny thing was, as soon as I finished that lift and nothing happened, the rest of the workout went so great, because I was like, oh, okay, the hard part is over and I'm safe and everything is great. How do you train an athlete to start doing almost superhuman type lifts without it plaguing their mind or them tapping into what they're actually doing?
Well, you know, I agree with you totally. I think it all starts with the brain and the mental aspect of lifting. You can put two people through a workout, the exact same workout, and depending upon the mental focus of one athlete versus the other, get two totally different results out of that workout. You know, basically, you know, it all starts in the mind. If you move in any way, shape, or form, it started with a thought that basically became a mechanical action. And you're right, when you have to lift and train heavy, I was the same way. You get anxious, you have mental stress. It's almost a fear of failure, of not being able to do the workout that's in front of you, because if you do fail, then you feel like, well, you start doubting yourself. So I think what you have to do is make sure you set your workouts up to be successful. Don't go to failure all the time. Don't set them, you know, don't put something in front of you that you won't succeed with in your training. You know, you want to train hard, but at the same time, make sure that, you know, you're not asking your body to do something it's not capable of doing. I trained with Eddie Cohn for a few years. He's a good friend of mine. And Eddie never missed a rep, or never missed very few. And he would always tell me, you know, you want to end successful, you want to be successful. And it was important to him, you know, because then you start doubting yourself in training. And what are you going to do when you're in competition?
So a great deal of it is establishing realistic goals then, I guess. And that's a problem. And you know, this comes back to the fact that this is why you probably need, a coach. Or what's the word I'm looking for? You know, a personal trainer, to coach you, because the problem quite often is maybe we have unrealistic expectations of how strong we should be getting, how fast.
Definitely, and you know, when you have somebody that can step back and say, hey, you know, there's a reason maybe you're not hitting your weights or whatever, you were, you know, fatigued yesterday. You know, there's a lot of variables, you know. Maybe you had stress, you know, for some reason. There's lots of variables that come in. You can't control them all, especially in a free society. You take it back to Soviet times when they controlled a lot of those variables, and it was different. But, you need somebody. I trained a lot by myself, and I trained a lot, you know, with a training partner. And, you know, I'd be the first one to say I've overtrained myself at times. Well, I'd get some wild ideas and think, ah, that, you know, the laws don't apply to me. I'm serving
right.
the laws, you know.
Right.
And, you know, you have to have somebody put you back into reality sometimes.
Aside from just regressing in strength, do you feel that overtraining is dangerous to the body?
Definitely. You know, you're obviously a lot more susceptible to injury. You know, usually you're probably dehydrated some way, shape, or form. Nutrition comes into play. I always felt like you should be slightly undertrained for competition than overtrained, obviously, even a little bit, because when you're slightly undertrained, you always feel like you got more in the tank. There's always that mystery out there that I'm stronger, I can do more. But once you hit that peak or you start overtraining slightly, you know where your limits are, and
right.
you've already set them in your mind. So, you know, yeah, I read a lot of stuff, especially recently, on people saying, you know, the Bulgarian method, you can train heavy every day and all that type of stuff. And that's a lot of BS, unless there's, you know, a lot more to their supplement.
Well, right, unless they're drug-using athletes, absolutely.
Yeah.
We're going to get into the whole training MMA fighters in just a moment, but this is very intriguing to me. Have you ever thought about the concept of not knowing the weight that you were lifting or not counting reps in, you know, I've come to the conclusion that repetitions creates a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you think that all you could do is 8 reps, you seem to start to get weaker on the 7th and you just push out that 8th. If you didn't know how many reps you were doing, a lot of times you could blow past it. If you didn't know exactly how much weight you were lifting, and this has happened to me because I'm not the sharpest tool in the holster. Sometimes I do math wrong, and then I realize, oh my God, I just pulled 540. You know, not you know. So it's like, you have any theories on that? Any observations on that?
You know, a lot of times we'll give them rep ranges. You know, you say, well, hit that between 8 and 12, somewhere in there. So you're not just saying hit it for 8 or try and hit 8, and we'll give them a range of reps to hit. So you're hitting in, you know, a strength area or a power area. And when I was training, you know, people asked me, I'd be, you know, training in the gym, what's on the bar? I said, I'd be honest with you, I don't even know. I kind of know. I throw some weight on there. I don't count the little stuff. And, you know, it's basically, that's the way I like to approach it, because I didn't want to have to worry about, you know, 5 pounds here, 2.5 pounds there. You start, you know, half the time you can't even feel that weight. You know, it's
right.
Like 2.5 pounds on 700 pounds. You won't even know if it's on the bar or not, you know. So
right.
All it is a mental thing. And you just, I tell guys, just count the 45s and maybe the 25s. Don't worry about the change.
And, you know, and that comes full circle to what we're talking about, being a mental game, because it's almost like when you put a number to it, now it becomes, oh, wow, this is 700 and something pounds. But if you do that, like you're saying, you do a set, you go, you know, I got a little more gas in me. Let me throw a couple quarters on. You do it again, and you got a little more gas, and you're not counting it. You're just throwing on what you think you should throw
right.
on based on the last set. And you,
exactly.
And then you surprise yourself about how much weight you're actually pushing up.
Yep. So, I agree totally. And that's the way I approach my training quite a bit, you know, and you do it more on feel. You got to have a general plan. But, it, you know, your strength can vary, you know, 5-7% sometimes in a day just based on what you've been doing and, you know, stress levels and different variables. And, you know, so why, you know, worry about a little bit of weight here? As long as the general trend is upwards, then, you know, you're gonna improve.
Right.
So.
Right. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to get deeper into more specific details about training MMA fighters. Mark, plug your website real quick before we go into the break.
You can find us at Philippi Sports Institute, oneword.com.
But spell Philippi because it's spelled a different way than I would have. It's two P's instead of two L's, right?
Right. Philippi, Sports Institute, just like Philippine Islands, but without the NES on the end.
There you go. PhilippiSportsInstitute.com.
Correct.
All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Mark Philippi. Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance. And it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical. But it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to veryintensepleasure.com. Try it once and you'll buy it again and again. veryintensepleasure.com. Mike Mahler is one of the most sought-after teachers in the world of kettlebell training. Whether your goal is greater strength, speed, mental toughness, or fat loss, you'll come away with newfound knowledge. His seminars play to sold-out crowds. Now you can attend one of the most exciting, life-changing strength and conditioning seminars in the world. Seminars are scheduled for Denver, Tacoma, Washington, Washington, D.C., Las Vegas, Hawaii, and Miami. These will not be repeat engagements, so don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Go to MikeMahler.com today and book your seat. That's Mike, MAHLER.com. Space is very limited. If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at PrimordialPerformance.com. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, leave.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with Mark Phillippe. We're talking about strength and conditioning training for MMA fighters versus everyday athletes. And when I say everyday athletes, I mean baseball players, football players, and the like. I know football players take a beating, but nobody takes a kick to the face without a helmet on the way an MMA fighter does. How do you train somebody to be prepared for that? How do you do it, Mark?
You know, when we first started doing, I had done a lot of boxers, you know, and boxing was big, being in Vegas. We had trained quite a few of them through the years. But I was surprised to find out that the MMA fighter lacked strength, most of them. Obviously, there's a few out there that haven't, and now they're getting better at it. But when we first started training them, a lot of them lacked actually strength and power. And so that's the first thing we found out, that they weren't very strong. They tend to train in an energy zone to be able to stay in their comfort zone type of thing, you know, where they're not training explosively all out and then forcing themselves to recover, you know, all out, forcing themselves to recover, kind of like a strength and power workout we would put a football player on. And found that out with Frank when we trained Frank. It took a while to get through that workout because he just wasn't used to doing it, first of all, and then the recovery was difficult for him. So that's the first thing we started doing. And then, obviously, you know, there's different types of metabolic round simulation, different types of training that you do to make sure that the cardiovascular is in condition.
Do you train MMA fighters in 3 minute and 5 minute intervals? Like I boxed when I was a kid for PAL, and I remember we used to do things. We actually had there was a timer in the gym that was always ringing every 3 minutes, and then 1 minute later would ring again. And so you would jump rope for 3 minutes, and then it would ring, and you'd stop for a minute, then you'd jump rope for another 3 minutes. And do you train them in intervals as well that would mimic the period of demand?
Correct. I think you have to have a workout depending upon also how long they give you to train them. You know, that varies. Sometimes they'll come to you with plenty of time before a fight or in between fights, and sometimes you're rushed. But we will do some type of strength and explosive and power work, and also do as their round simulation type things in either 3 or 5 minutes. But I found, and I think fighters tend to fight in bursts more than consistent 3 or 5 minute energy type areas. So we train them more like that, where you're going to go all out and then you'll be doing something at a lesser intensity within that interval period, and then have to go all out again. So, you know, you can't go all out for 3 or 5 minutes, but if you tend to train at a sub-maximal level consistently, you tend to fight that way too. So you gotta, I talked about forcing them out of their comfort zone and pushing them out of their comfort zone. And the more you do that, the better you are at just not worrying about expending too much energy. It's kind of like I would talk to them about, hey, when you pull the truck, if you're worried about expending too much energy, you're not going to be able to pull a truck very fast. You just attack it. You go all out, whatever it takes, and then you force yourself to recover for the next event that's coming up afterwards. So it's kind of like the same thing. If you, the better and harder you can push yourself and recover in your training, then when the fight comes around, the fight's basically easy for you on a conditioning basis.
So it's kind of like interval training, where you have bursts,
correct,
of energy and then recovery, and you're trying to get the body to recover faster and faster. Are there techniques that you use to get the body to recover faster?
You know, a lot of that comes down to, obviously, you know, in between the better condition you are, and the more the more you do it, the better their conditioning level is going to be. But a lot of that comes into, you know, rest and recovery and diet and nutrition and you know, getting that last 5% out of them also. And we do extensive work with nutritional work. My wife handles that whole side of the program. We do different types of micronutrient testing and food sensitivities and all types of things to make sure that the body is not only, you know, strength to body weight ratio is going up, but we're attacking inflammation in the body and helping the body recover from workout to workout. As a matter of fact, she just did a big nutritional program for Vitor Belfort. So, yeah, that's, we look at the, all different factors like that to help them recover.
I remember when Frank Shamrock was fighting Tito Ortiz, I think, for the final time. There was a discussion, commentary that, no, I'm sorry, Ken Shamrock. I apologize. Ken Shamrock, the older brother. When Ken Shamrock was fighting Tito Ortiz for the last and final time, there was some discussion that he was working with a special coach who was working on getting his cardiac output. There was a focus on the heart. The older athlete, the heart isn't as strong, it doesn't pump as fast, and blah, blah, blah. And the reality is, there's lots of research out there that shows, quite often, the limiting factor in strength and force is a system in the brain that protects the heart, you know, a sort of a governor, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do things with athletes that is specifically designed to strengthen the heart? Other than, I mean, you know, I'm not arduous cardiovascular workouts. I mean, but the things that are designed to strengthen the heart, to strengthen the output of the heart.
You know, I think that'll go back to more of the intensity of the interval type training. To my knowledge, you know, you may be in an area that I'm not familiar with, but I think not just basic cardiovascular work, but the level of intensity,
like pulling sleds, for instance, or heavy farmers walks, things that tax the cardiovascular system through force, not just you know, running a treadmill really fast or something like that.
Yeah, we don't do much basic. We'll do maybe some interval shuttle runs, but that's how we bring the intensity of the conditioning program up. I have, you know, 100-pound med balls where we'll do clean and presses or throw it over your shoulder, rope sleds, dragging, maybe log lifts. It's all work-related conditioning. So you're having to move an object and your body at the same time. Instead of just jogging or running or whatever, you tend to click it in your comfort zone. That's minimally what we do. Most of our stuff is intervals with movements and weights and different objects where you have to overcome. You know, a simple one may be we put a lightweight on a sled and you push it as fast as you can all out for 15 seconds and then you rest for 15 seconds and then you go through intervals like that where you're having to overcome force and then we adjust the weight accordingly. You know, we have a device where I can drag and make it as tough as, you know, pulling or dragging a truck if we need to.
Wow.
You know, within that 5-minute interval. So we'll switch them between, you know, stone and or med ball lift to hammer to rope to dragging to pushing to overhead ball through weighted ball throws within that 5 or 3 minute interval. And then obviously we give them their minute rest in between. Then we pick it back up again. So we have different protocol to, like you said, strengthen the heart, but it's within reaching a level of intensity where you really got to push yourself versus just jogging or sprinting or running.
I had Coach Dan John on the show a couple times, and one of the shows we did, we talked specifically about an Olympic lifter by the last name Litvinov. Do you know who he was?
What was the last name?
Litvinov.
Where was he from?
I want to say he was from the Ukraine, but I could be wrong. And he made very popular a movement that ended up becoming the Litvi squat. He would front squat at a very, very light body weight, like 500 pounds for reps, and then he would rack the bar and he would sprint 100 yards immediately
mm-hmm.
after. And do you do any of that sort of stuff where you combine a heavy compound movement,
training.
Yeah, with a sprint or something like that?
Yeah, we'll do that where we'll do jumping motions, maybe sprinting motions, also, you know, we don't reel ourselves in any way, shape, or form. If we see something or steal something that we like from somebody, we'll adapt it to our situation. But yeah, we'll do contrast training like that, where we'll do some type of squatting or leg motion followed by a jump end or a sprint. We'll also do some, depending upon, like I said, the amount of time we have to train the athlete, put them on a nervous system based program, where we'll go slow to faster or fast to slow, meaning, you know, a squat followed by a clean pull or a clean followed by a jump followed by a ballistic movement, that type of thing, to get the nervous system fired up earlier in the training cycle. And towards the end of the training cycle, we're sacrificing a little bit of the intensity and the strength for the conditioning factor, so it kind of flips. Early on, we're focusing more on strength and power and explosion, and then as we get closer to the fight, we'll lay back on that a little bit and have the cardiovascular element take over.
That's a technique used in training horses, too. You know, I worked on the racetrack as a kid for 5 years, and I remember what they would do with a horse is they would work them really, really hard for a period of time, and then as it got close to a race, they would slowly cut back the distance that he would work. When I say work, when you work a horse, it's different than galloping. You're really letting a horse run as fast. There's a slow work called a breeze, where you're kind of letting the horse open up a little bit, but you're not giving it 100%. And then a work is when you let a horse give 100%. It's like a race. But there's no other horses out there competing with them, so he's just doing it by himself. And I remember when they would, you know, you would work a horse real hard for a period of time. As it got closer to the race, you'd start breezing him. Then you'd start breezing him for shorter distances. Then you'd start galloping him, and the horse would be rearing his head because he wants to run. He's used to running. He's like, hey, why am I not running? And then you'd then towards the end, it was almost torturous. They would take the horse out, and they'd bring him up to the track. They'd walk him around. He'd watch all these other horses run. He'd want to run. He'd be, you know, kicking and farting. And then they'd take him back and put him in his stall. And he'd be kicking the flipping stall down. And then they'd take him to the track the next day, and the horse would fly.
Right.
Stevie Juergens used to do that. It was famous for doing that. He used to say he wanted the horse to be so frustrated when he got in that gate that the horse just wanted to fly around the track on his own accord.
I think that's the trick behind, you know, strength and conditioning training for almost everybody is, how do you hit your peak right on the day of competition? And I think that all plays back into, you know, making sure your program's written out right, but you're not overtraining. You're leaving a little bit left in the tank. The mental approach is that you're fresh. You're going into it. You're focused. You're ready to attack and not feeling flat. And, it all kind of mirrors what you're trying to do when you have an athlete ready for competition.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to ask you how you assess overtraining, number one. And then I want to ask you what you do to train a guy's jaw, if you do that, if you do anything, neck movements and so on. We're talking with Mark Phillippe about how to train MMA fighters versus other athletes. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Isolator will change the way you work out forever. We've all imagined how it would be if there was an apparatus that would eliminate the hands, forearms, biceps, and triceps from training chest, back, and shoulder muscles. Well, now you can with the Isolator. The Isolator does exactly what it says. It allows you to isolate muscles to get a better, more intense workout. And they're so versatile, they work with machines or free weights. You have to see the Isolator to believe it. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Isolator Fitness banner ad today. The Isolator, the only way to train.
Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to ageforce.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler, and now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest is Mark Phillippe. You can learn more about him. Give the website again, Mark. I'm sorry I keep forgetting it. It's Phillippe.
Phillippe Sports Institute. Sports Phillippe Institute. Spelled Philippi, like Philippine Islands.
There you go.
Without the NES. Just one word, Phillippe Sports Institute.
How do you, Mark, determine if an athlete is overtrained? Obviously, this is a subjective situation, or are you actually doing like blood work, markers, and stuff like that?
Yeah, you can do both. There's different ways of testing. Obviously, if you don't have any methods like that, you can obviously see how the athlete is reacting to their workouts, being able to handle the weights that they should be able to handle from workout to workout. Are they able to coordinate their movements? If you're timing them on some type of speed work, are they able to reproduce the speed work? If they're doing Olympic movements, are they able to hit the weights they're supposed to, coordinate their movements? You can test them, and we've messed around with like the Omega Wave, which tests your nervous system and get a baseline. You can measure from workout to workout, how well the readings that it gives you. I haven't used it in a few years because it was kind of, showing me what I already knew from the workouts, from viewing the workouts, but it did quantify, how well your nervous system was recovering. There's different grip tests, type things that you can do. You can, get some blood testing done, measure your adrenal function. If your adrenals are fried, it's then going to mess up the rest of your hormonal levels. Your testosterone may be affected and whatnot.
What would you do if the adrenals are fried? Just lay off?
You got to focus more on sleep, nutrition, things like that. Because what ends up happening a lot of times, that's poor diet, poor sleep at night. You're pushing your body to it. We'll see some regular people in this town, Vegas, not sleeping enough, things like that, that then are, that have that problem, and then they're seeing the hormone doctor, but they're basically putting a Band-Aid on it. It's not so much testosterone or something else. It's fried adrenals that are causing it.
Right.
So, you can measure those things, and we run several different types of tests to do that, or we have connections with doctors to say we need to check you out because it looks like you're not firing the way you should.
What about we just did a story right before yours about an old time strongman named Joe Rolino who did many feats of strength, but one of his feats of strength was he lifted 450 pounds with his teeth, effectively doing a deadlift with his jaw. And he was also a boxer early in his career and took lots of punches to the bell, but never went down. Is there actually work that you could do that would strengthen a guy's ability to take a punch to the jaw?
Well, I think yes and no. And working with Sal Torrance, you know, from Eddie Futch Torrance and guys that were fighters and whatnot, I think, you know, there's a saying, you know, you're not a fighter if you can throw a punch. You're a fighter if you can take one. You know,
I like
so
that.
You know, if it all depends upon if you can't take a punch, you're probably not one of the top MMA guys. It kind of goes hand in hand. Now, in saying that, can you strengthen up the neck and the jaw area? Surely you can. You can make that whole area stronger, just like you would with a football player. You can do different jaw type exercise, like he was probably lifting things with his teeth and
right.
making his jaw and that whole area stronger. I would venture to guess he probably could take a punch. He didn't have a narrow TMJ area.
Right.
But when I was, you know, with Sal and I trained initially, Montel Griffin was the first fighter I trained who was a very loose fighter, you know, strong, but was very, very loose. And so you want to strengthen the area, the neck and whatnot, but you want to be able to keep it loose to where, you know, they would say if somebody's going to punch you, let your head turn with the punch. Instead of resisting the punch, which then would make it harder to your head. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You kind of, if you're loose and strong, and somebody hits you in the side of the in the cheek, your head would turn with the punch. Now it looks bad, but you're not resisting it. You're not taking as much force on.
It's like the crumple zone in a car that's designed
right.
to bend up to absorb the shock.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, that's how it was described to me on. You know, from guys that knew more about boxing at the time than I did, and I learned a lot from them, but we wanted to try and obviously strengthen that whole area, you know, because you're going to take some impact, but try also to be loose and not tight so you're not resisting that, which in the long run, you know, if you take a few shots and you're resisting, you're just making the force that much harder.
Right, right. What about the time that these guys train for MMA? I mean, MMA fighters have to train in so many different disciplines. You know, you've got grappling, you've got the stand-up, you've got this, you've got that, and now it's strength and conditioning and endurance and everything else. I mean, I understand that these guys are professional athletes, so their job is to train. But is there a point of diminishing returns? Are these guys training 8 hours a day? Or are they training for small spurts of time? Are they training multiple times, morning and evening? How did that work?
You know, and that's the trick. That's the key. How do you set everything together? You know, I liken them to, you know, I kid around, you guys are like gypsies. I said, you're all over town, you know, they'll go to a jiu-jitsu guy, and then they'll go to, you know, another guy to do their stand-up, and then wrestling, and they'll come here for their strength work. They're all over town in Vegas here, just, you know, from gym to gym, getting what they need, and how do you mix it all together? So I think what you need to do is look at where your weaknesses and deficiencies are and attack those. So if your deficiency is conditioning or strength, then you need to make sure you get that in. And I should tell Frank, if you take 100 more kicks, you know, a day, is that really going to help you versus you getting strong enough to be able to fight somebody, let's say like Brock Lesnar, who you may not get stronger than, but you just have to be strong enough to be able to utilize your superior skill work.
Right.
So you don't have to be the strongest guy. You just can't be so deficient in strength that somebody can ragdoll you and you can't use your skills, which may be superior than the other person's. And we found that given two guys that are somewhat equal in strength, you know, equal in skill work, the guy that's stronger, he's going to win the fight more often than not, you know. So it wasn't always like that early on, and I think, but later on you're finding that the bigger, stronger guys are getting to be good enough with the different types of skills just to be able to defend it or whatnot, to be able to utilize their strength to overcome somebody else.
Matt Hughes won a lot of fights by being able to pick up his opponent and slam him to the ground. That made me think that lifts like the deadlift were of paramount importance to grappling. What do you think, if you had to pick the movement that is probably the single most important movement for an MMA guy to be doing, what would you say it is?
I would say probably a power clean, where it is obviously a similar
to a
deadlift,
to a
deadlift motion. Yeah, deadlift, obviously is going to help. You can do clean pulls then from there to get to where you're, like you said, pick him off the ground and lift him up. And then if you're doing a power clean, obviously you're getting a little more power element, a little more force generation off the ground. So that would probably, or even, if you're doing an object trim, you might do log lifts, or I might have, I had some of the fighters work with the stones, picking the stones up, which is an object now, a little bit harder to pick up than a bar. And, at least pick them up to their chest, drop them on the ground, pick it back up again. Things like that were, it's a little bit more difficult to handle.
Right.
But things like that, yeah, where you just basically brute strength. And, it's intimidating as a fighter if you know somebody is stronger than you or substantially more stronger with you than you, then, and I think that's what happened way back when Tyson was fighting Holyfield. He came up against Holyfield and was like, oh, he felt the strength of Holyfield, and that messed with his head more than anything else, I think.
Yeah.
So I think there's that element of it.
Yeah, absolutely. When Frank Mir, one of the things that I've observed about Frank Mir, and I think he's a great fighter. I think he was a very underestimated fighter because he had a slightly flamboyant way about him that I think made a lot of people not want to like him. He made it look too easy sometimes. Frank Mir is much bigger than he appears on television, isn't he? I mean, if people look at him on TV, for some reason he doesn't cast that look when you see him on TV.
Right. And, I trained him for his, not this past one, Czech Congo and the part of the one lead in the Shane Carwin. He had some issues with, the MMA people and all that with some things he said or whatnot, but he's a good athlete, put it that way. He's an athlete first, and, it was very receptive to initially doing something else because he hadn't really trained with weights and strength and conditioning much. Somebody, always told him it's not good for you. You're going to get
tight
and all
right,
that type
right,
of stuff.
Right.
So, yeah, he had the ability to put on a lot of weight. He had a lot of upside. I think his fear was always that he was going to then depend upon the strength portion and not be able to use his skill work enough. And I think, I disagree with that. I think there's a happy medium in there somewhere where you got to keep on doing it to maintain a certain strength level and peak it out for the fight, but still be able to do the skill work that got you to that point. But he is a larger individual than he looks. And I think, when we first started working with him, he was, he put some solid weight on, not an overly amount of weight to change his strength to body weight ratio, but, his body was responding pretty good.
What other top fighters have you worked with that my listeners will recognize their names?
Stefan Bonner. We've had him for quite some time now, a few years now. Gray Maynard, worked with Gray. Obviously, Frank are probably our main guys. We've had several, some foreign guys that have come in.
Right.
Bulgarian Sambo, world champion that has just come to the U.S. So they kind of come and go. Like I said, they'll train around town. They'll come in for a while. Then they'll go, figure out that there's somebody they got to see. Can they mix it in, the strength portion? When they can, they come back. And so that's part of the trick too, is they're kind of, they got so many different disciplines to work in. It's like making soup. You got to figure out how to mix it together and make it taste good.
Of all the MMA fighters that you've worked with, I'm talking about pound for pound, because you can't compare, the small guys to the big guys. Pound for pound, who do you think is the strongest, just brute strength?
Probably was Gray Maynard.
Really?
Yeah, he's a wrestling background. He's a strong guy. And knee was slowing him down a little bit there, but yeah, he's a pretty strong guy.
All right, let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up the interview with Mark Phillippe. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Age Force introduces the first ever nitric oxide booster plus advanced post-workout recovery formula in a two-stage transdermal pack. Stage 1 releases its nitric oxide boosting formula directly into the bloodstream the minute you apply it and continues to deliver a powerful nitric oxide boost during your workout. Stage 2 is delayed time release, so the post-recovery formula starts after your workout. Go to ageforce.com and check out the new pre- and post-workout patch and get 50% off any order with the promo code SHROX. Save 50% when you use coupon code SHROX.
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance, and it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical, but it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to veryintensepleasure.com. Try it once, and you'll buy it again and again. Veryintensepleasure.com.
Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage pain, and you should too.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Mark Phillippe, one of the strongest men in the world, also a superb strength and conditioning coach, works with lots of professional athletes. You can learn more about him by visiting his website, Phillippe Sports Institute. It's P-H-I-L-I-P-P-I, sportsinstitute.com. Mark, who's that on your website doing the human flagpole?
Oh, that's Gregor. Gregor is a guy we trained, have been training for quite some time that... He's in one of the shows, the Larev show.
Ah, Larev. Yeah, right, and, right.
Yeah, he's a Polish guy. Great guy. But
I mean, that's an impressive. I've seen that flag before, but that's impressive. His arms are completely extended.
Yeah. A lot of times before I'd let him leave, I'd say, okay, I'd gather everybody up and say, Gregor, you gotta do a stunt for us before I let you go. So he can do some amazing things. Great guy. So, you know, we obviously... A lot of reconditioning type things for him.
You know, I'm gonna give you a great idea that can go viral on the internet.
Okay.
You dress him in a pants and shirt that when they are put together they look like the American flag. You play the national anthem. You have him do that, and you have him wobble slightly like he's waving in the breeze. And you put that up on YouTube. People get a kick out of it.
Yeah, I should.
And then do it with the Polish flag after that, too. And then he could do it for his country people. There you go. You play the Polish anthem as well. No, really.
You know who I left out that's pretty strong also is Todd Duffy. Train him.
Oh, really?
He's pretty strong guy. He'd come back because he's out of town for a while. Just come back a few weeks back. We had Phil Baroni, but he was a little beat up when we started training.
I liked Phil for a long time. I thought he was a great fighter. I tell you, Las Vegas has quite a few really good MMA meccas, if you will. You've got Tito Ortiz had his camp there for a long time. I don't know if he's even doing anything anymore. But then who's the older guy that finally he retired three times, came back and fought three times, and he was in that movie with Sly Stallone. Why can't I think of his name right now, Mark?
Oh, Couture?
Yeah, Randy Couture is there.
He's got a gym too, man. Yeah, there's several. You know, a lot of it is kind of a mecca. You get quite a few fighters down there because you got a lot of sparring opponents and things like that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Tapout's got a place in town here. And
I want to have somebody from one of the organizations that governs MMA fighters on my show. I want to have a logical and friendly debate about why it's important for these guys to have their testosterone tested and not let sports dictate medicine. If a guy has ultra low testosterone, he should be on testosterone therapy. He should not be ruled out of the sport because he's on testosterone therapy if he's in physiological ranges with his testosterone. Because one of the things that causes Parkinsona pugilista is the lack of testosterone when you're getting your bell rung damages the substantia nigra of the brain. And by ignoring this, they're putting these fighters at great risk.
I don't disagree with that. I think what probably happened to a lot of them is through experimentation and taking testosterone unsupervised, they've probably screwed up their own production.
And that's probably true. And even more reason. Look, you know what? We can act like Uncle Jimmy isn't a pedophile and let him play with the mm-hmm. kids. Or we can say, look, Uncle Jimmy's a pedophile. Don't leave him alone with the kids. Let's do something about it. They can ignore what's going on that these, you know, every athlete, I don't care who you are. I wasn't even an athlete and I was using drugs to lift. So imagine if I was making a living at it. You know, so let's not ignore it. Let's not put these guys in harm's way. Let's get their testosterone tested. Let's give them amnesty if they're in the gutter with it, regardless of why. And let's get them on doctor-supervised testosterone so that they can go on and find other careers when they're done fighting. And they don't look like the guy that's shell-shocked from World War One. Every time he hears the bell ring, he stands up and starts punching.
Right.
So, you know.
I agree.
Hey, listen, before we come to the end of the interview, you've actually introduced a couple supplements, haven't you?
I have, yep. I've put together a few and still working on more, but my own pre-workout powder, power shot, and post-workout drink, recovery shot, both available through my website. And it's designed, obviously, you know, to drive you through your workout, but we wanted to make it so it was safe for younger athletes, too, so we didn't put any stimulants in it. The power shot's active ingredient is crealkaline. It does have beta-alanine in it, amino acids. It's arginine-driven. It also has antioxidants, trans-resveratrol, sea berries, and electrolytes. It's a pretty complex formulation that a gentleman in town here made for me. And then the recovery shot has your branched-chain aminos, more beta-alanine, antioxidants, electrolytes, Vitargo manufactured type waxy maize. They're both pretty complex products that I wanted to be able to stand in front of somebody and say, hey, these are high quality and you're going to like them.
You said for young guys, old guys like me, I won't take a pre-workout supplement that has any stims in it because I'm 53 years old. My heart rate races already when I train hard. I love your product. I took it because, and I started out with one scoop. I just threw it in my mouth and squished it around with some water and drank it down, mm-hmm. liked it. I ended up going to two scoops, and you're right. No stims. I love that.
It gives you more of a consistent energy through your workout. After about, if you take it 15 minutes before you work out, you'll start to notice that your energy level is pretty consistent throughout the workout without a spike. And I found that, you know, I've trained a lot harder. I train a lot. I'm stronger throughout the workout. And, you know, if I do say so myself, I think it's a great product.
I got to be honest with you. I usually have 2 tablespoons of raw, unfiltered honey. and 16 ounces of raw unpasteurized milk before my workout. And then I threw that in my mouth after that and drank it down because I definitely noticed a difference in my routine than normal. I really did.
Good. Yeah, good. So, and the recovery show we've got great feedback from on reducing soreness after intense workouts and, great. It also a good product came out a little bit after the power shot did.
Hey, Elisa just texted me from the other side of the studio. The U.S. just beat France to head to the finals on Sunday. So the U.S. a female soccer team just beat France. Congratulations to the girls from the USA. They're kicking butt and taking names. Yeah, I'm very excited about this. I've gotten into it because I'm just trying to be more patriotic. That's all. Anyway,
I got a daughter that plays soccer, so I enjoy it more now.
Yeah, there you go. You got a reason to like it. Mark, it's always great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
My pleasure. We'll have you back on soon. And again, anybody who wants to learn more about Mark Phillippe, you can go to Phillippe, Philippi, sportsinstitute.com. Check it out. Browse around. Let them know you heard about him on Superhuman Radio. Mark, thanks for being on the show today, brother.
Great. Thanks, Carl.
Okay. All right. So that's it. We've wasted another 2 hours talking about physical culture, strength and conditioning, all the things that you love the most. Hope you enjoyed today's show. We've got a great show planned for you tomorrow. Dr. Cassandra Forsythe-Probanek is going to be on talking specifically for women, but men can get something out of this as well. Does dietary fat really make you fat? This is a message that women get wrong quite often because of people like the Wizard of Oz. We're going to be rebelling against the Wizard of Oz tomorrow, so we'll see you tomorrow.